नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भगवद गीता चैप्टर 9 वर्स नंबर 10 प्लीज रिपीट आफ्टर मी मयाध्यक्षेण प्रकृति सूयते सचराचरम हेतुनानेन कौन्तेय जगत विपरिवर्तते मयाध्यक्षेण प्रकृति सूयते सचराचरम हेतुनानेन कौन्तेय जगत विपरिवर्तते मयाध्यक्षेण प्रकृति सूयते सचराचरम हेतुनानेन कौन्तेय जगत विपरिवर्तते एनीवन वुड लाइक टू रिसाइट द श्लोक मयाध्यक्षेण प्रकृति सूयते सचराचरम हेतुनानेन कौन्तेय जगत विपरिवर्तते एनीवन एल्स मयाध्यक्षेण प्रकृति सूयते सचराचरम हेतुनानेन कौन्तेय जगत विपरिवर्तते मयाध्यक्षेन प्रकृतिः सूयते सचराचरम हेतुनानेन कौन्तेय जगत विपरिवर्तते मयाध्यक्षेण प्रकृति सूयते सचराचरम हेतुनानेन कौन्तेय जगत विपरिवर्तते सो आई विल नाउ रीड द वर्ड फॉर वर्ड मीनिंग काइंडली रिपीट आफ्टर मी मया बाय मी अध्यक्षेण बाय सुपरिंटेंडेंस प्रकृति मटेरियल नेचर सूयते मैनिफेस्ट स विथ चराचरम मूविंग एंड नॉन मूविंग हेतुना फॉर दिस रीजन अनेना दिस कौन्तेय ओ सन ऑफ कुंती जगत द कॉस्मिक मैनिफेस्टेशन विपरिवर्तते इज वर्किंग ट्रांसलेशन बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद काइंडली रिपीट दिस मटीरियल नेचर इज वर्किंग अंडर माई डायरेक्शन ओ सन ऑफ कुंती एंड इट इज प्रोड्यूसिंग all moving
and unmoving
beings.
By its rule,
this manifestation
is created
and annihilated
again and again.
Purport, that is commentary,
by Srila Prabhupada.
Quote,
it is clearly stated here
that the Supreme
Lord, although
aloof from all
the activities of the
material world,
remains
the Supreme
Director.
The
Supreme Lord
is the Supreme Will
and
the background
of this
material manifestation.
But
the management
is being
conducted by
material nature.
Krishna
also states
in Bhagavad Gita
that
of all the
living entities in
different forms
and species,
I
am the Father.
The
Father gives
seeds to
the womb of
the mother
for the child,
and
similarly,
the
Supreme Lord,
by his
mere glance,
injects
the living
entities into
the womb
of material
nature,
and
they come
out
in
their different
forms and
species
according
to their
last
desires
and
activities.
All
these living
entities,
although
born under
the glance
of the Supreme
Lord,
still
take
their different
bodies
according
to their
past
deeds
and
desires.
So the
Lord is
not
directly
attached
to this
material
creation.
He
simply
glances
over
material
nature.
Material
nature
is thus
activated,
and
everything
is created
immediately.
Because
he glances
over
material
nature,
there
is undoubtedly
activity
on the
part of
the Supreme
Lord,
but
he has
nothing
to do
with
the manifestation
of the
material
world
directly.
This
example
is given
in the
Smriti.
When
there is
a fragrant
flower
before
someone,
the
fragrance
is
touched
by the
smelling
power of
the
person.
Yet
the smelling
and
the flower
are
detached
from
one another.
There
is a
similar
connection
between
the material
world
and
the
Supreme
Personality
of Godhead.
Actually,
he
has
nothing
to do
with
this material
world.
But
he
creates
by
his
glance
and
ordains.
In
summary,
material
nature,
without
the
superintendence
of the
Supreme
Personality
of Godhead,
cannot
do
anything.
Yet
the
Supreme
Personality
is
detached
from
all
material
activities.
Unquote.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. In the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna has described that this material world is created, it is maintained for some time, and then it is annihilated. And all these, Lord Krishna says, are going on because I am in control. I am the one who creates, I am the one who maintains, and I am the one who destroys. Sometimes the word God is referred to by his abbreviation G-O-D as being the generator, operator, and destroyer. Generator means that he is the source of everything, operator means that he is the maintainer of everything, and destroyer means that ultimately he annihilates everything. That is the meaning of God. So he says that this entire creation is being maintained, produced, and destroyed ultimately by him alone. So when we look at this universe, the vastness of it, we may think that this is such a gigantic task that perhaps God has to be struggling and working all day long, day after day, just to do this. But actually no. What is he saying? He says in the previous verse, Nachamam tani karmani nibadhananti dhananjaya. He says, although I am doing all these things, but this work cannot bind me. I am ever detached from this. I am seated as though neutral, as though I am not very much concerned with it. It doesn't require God to be intensely involved. He can just sit back and automatically all his work gets done. How is that? We can give a simple example. Even in this world, we see a very rich man. If he owns many, many factories and industries, he is sitting in his air-conditioned cabin, or perhaps he is going to play golf in the morning, and his businesses all over the world are running. How? Because he has money power. Because he is paying all the managers, he is paying all the officers. So through his various energies and representatives, the work is automatically being done. Similarly, in the Svetashvatara Upanishad, it is declared, Parasya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shtuyate, that Lord Krishna, he has diverse energies, many, many energies, inconceivable energies and potencies. Svabhaviki Jnana Balakriyacha. And because of these unlimited energies and potencies, he is doing anything and everything. Simply by his desire, his energies and representatives are fulfilling his purpose as if automatically. So to one who is not very perceptive, he may think that everything is going on in this world automatically. Yes, it is going on automatically, but behind this whole machinery of the universe, there is a supreme brain. There is a supreme intelligence who is controlling everything. It is not that it is happening just by itself. The material energy is actually an instrument by which everything is going on in this creation. And behind that material nature, there is Lord Krishna, the Supreme Controller, God Himself. We can see that in nature there are so many beautiful flowers. And a tree is producing hundreds and hundreds of such flowers, perfect with its leaves, petals, and buds, and so on. And if you want to paint that flower and make an exact replica of that, it takes so much time, energy, talent. And even then, you may not be able to make a perfect copy. There may be some difficulty in getting the exact symmetry, or perhaps you have not got the exact shade of the color, or the scales are not proper. So to just make an imitation painting of one flower, it takes so much of time, energy, and then too it may not be perfect. But nature is producing so many hundreds and millions of flowers effortlessly, one after the other, perfectly. So we can understand that there is a brain. There is an intelligence that is coordinating and controlling all these activities. So Lord Krishna is saying that I am controlling. I am the controller. Maya adhyakshena prakriti. Adhyakshena means that under my direction. These things simply do not happen by themselves. Although immediately we may not be in a position to understand how it is going on. But simply because we do not understand how it is going on, it doesn't mean there is no controller. There is always somebody. We have no experience in this world of anything that is happening without a controller. You look at the smallest thing in this creation. There is, let's say, a spaceship. We are very proud in this day and age that we have built spaceships and rockets. And how much energy, how much time, how much money, how much expertise of thousands of scientists and engineers and administrators goes behind making one little spaceship and sending it into orbit. And very often we see that that launch is also a failure. So how much of technical expertise, how many scientists are required for this one little spaceship, which is actually just like a plaything? It is like a toy, just a few kilograms in weight. In nature we see there are millions and millions of planets, which are trillions of times heavier than one little Sputnik or little rocket. And these are effortlessly floating in space. They are moving perfectly in their orbits. Precisely. So much so that you can tell the time by the movement of these planets and stars. You can predict thousands of years in the future where these planets and stars are going to be in the sky. So it is happening precisely. Where is it all coming from? There is a controller. There is a story of this great scientist, Isaac Newton. Isaac Newton, he was a believer of God. But one of his friends, he was an atheist. And one day, when Isaac Newton went to his house, he saw that there was a very wonderful model of the solar system, with the sun in the center and the planets all around. And all these were connected by a crankshaft, so that whenever he turned the crankshaft, automatically all the planets would move in just the perfect order all around the sun. And they were all built to scale with the planets in the proper ratios and proportions. Very wonderfully designed. So when he saw this, he said, "This is very wonderful." And his friend asked him, actually it was Isaac Newton's, this machine belonged to Isaac Newton. So when the friend came to Isaac Newton's house, he asked him, "Who has built this machine?" So Isaac Newton wanted to make a point. So he said, "Actually this machine, it just came by itself. There is nobody who made it. It just happened by itself." So his friend naturally just thought he was making fun. So he said, "Come on now, you be serious and tell me, because I also would like to have a similar machine in my own house. It is such a wonderful thing." He said, "No, believe me. I had just kept some plaster of Paris in my room last night. And when I came in the morning, lo and behold, I saw suddenly all this whole planets and stars, this whole machinery just there." So the friend persisted for some time, then he got angry and he said, "Okay, if you don't want to tell me, then it's all right. I know you don't want another imitation of this in my house because you don't want any competitor." So anyway, then Isaac Newton told him, "All right, I will tell you. But see, the point I'm trying to make," he said, "is this, that this little instrument, this little machine, just a few feet in dimension, you believe it could not have happened by chance. You believe that there is some creator behind it. There is somebody in control who has manipulated the various ingredients, like this plaster of Paris, the metal and the nuts and screws and so on. Somebody in control has manipulated all these things and made this. Just this small little contraption. And you don't believe this could have happened by chance. You believe there is a need that there should be a controller for this. And yet, the very object of which this is only a small model, you believe that there is no need for a controller for that? What kind of logic is that?" So his friend was quiet. The point was made. In nature we are seeing all these big, big things. How is it possible? For one little Sputnik or a rocket, we are spending so many lakhs of rupees and dollars and so many scientists, and we imagine that for all this universe, the way it is functioning so precisely, we imagine that there is no controller? This is foolishness. Therefore, Lord Krishna is saying here, Mayadhakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. The translation, he says, this material nature is working under my direction and is producing all moving and unmoving beings. By its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. In other words, Lord Krishna is saying that whatever changes are going on in this world, whatever wonderful things are happening in this world, know for certain, it is happening under my power. It is happening because I am perfectly in control. It cannot happen otherwise. There has to be a supreme controller behind everything. And simply because we can't see, we should not say simply that there is no controller. You see, because our tiny brains, they cannot accommodate the inconceivable vastness of the intelligence that is necessary to produce, manage and annihilate this entire creation of millions and millions of universes, because this is incomprehensible for us. So we take the easy way out and we say, actually there is no brain behind everything. It is just happening by chance. There is no controller. But this is known as Dr. Frog's philosophy. You know what is the Dr. Frog's philosophy? Once upon a time there were two frogs. Actually there was one frog. He was staying in a well. And all his life he had lived in the well. He had never gone outside. And then he had a visitor. This visitor frog, he came from the sea. He was living near the sea. So he happened to come and he came into the well. And the two frogs started talking. And then he asked him, where are you coming from? He said, I'm coming from the Atlantic Ocean. So he said, oh, very nice. So do you like my well? He said, yes, it's very nice. But the place I come from, that is very big, much bigger than this. So the first frog said, how big? 2 times? 3 times? 5 times? He said, no, it is much bigger than that. He said, 100 times? 1,000 times? He said, no, you do not understand, it is much bigger. Well, how much bigger? 10,000 times? So in this way, he was trying to understand with his tiny brain, because his experience was limited only to the confines of the well. So he was trying to imagine the vastness of the Atlantic and Pacific Ocean with his tiny little brain that was used to accommodate only the circumference of this tiny well. So we are like that Professor Frog, the Dr. Frog. With all our tiny intelligence, we want to actually understand the vastness of this, and we want to bring everything under the limited reach of our tiny little intelligence and mind. And because we cannot perceive it with our limited senses, that there is a controller behind us, we cannot see him directly. Therefore we say, oh, he doesn't exist. There is no controller. We had seen in another shloka that we did earlier, where Lord Krishna declares that he is a supreme absolute truth. He says, Mayi sarvam idam protam sutre maniganaiva. That he is the underlying basis for everything. This whole creation is resting upon him. He is the basis because he is the supreme absolute truth. Mattaha parataram na anyat kinchid asti dhananjaya. He says, I am the supreme absolute truth and everything in creation is resting upon me. So it is not that everything is simply resting upon Krishna. It is not that he creates and then sits back and lets the maintenance do its own thing. There are some people who put forward this kind of theory. There are some who say that there is no controller, no God. There are others who make a concession. They say, all right, we believe there is a controller, there may be a God. He has created everything, but after he created, somehow he could not control his creation. It went out of hand, like the Frankenstein monster that was created by that scientist, and then he could not control the monster. So somehow he created, but then laws of nature came into effect and they are now controlling, and God is out, he cannot control anymore. But no, although everything rests in God, God is in supreme control of every atom in his creation at every moment. There is never a time when God ceases to be out of control. When we are in control of something like a political chair, prime minister, minister, we are always anxious to maintain it, to maintain that seat of control. But for Lord Krishna, he doesn't have to struggle. He is always eternally the supreme controller. There is no competitor for him. We are actually all imitation competitors. We are here in this material world because we wanted to imitate the controlling position of Lord Krishna. And therefore we are forced to undergo the sufferings in the form of birth, death, old age and disease. So therefore, in this shloka, Lord Krishna is declaring that don't think everything is going on just by itself. I am in perfect control at every moment. The word prakriti here means nature. The word suyate means producing. Chara, achara, characharam. Chara means that which is moving. Achara means that which is not moving. So it is said here that prakriti or material nature is producing all these things, chara and achara. It is producing both moving and non-moving beings. But Lord Krishna is saying that this prakriti is not producing chara and achara independently. It cannot just do without any controllership. Because I am in control, under my direction, under my supervision and superintendence, material nature is able to do all of these things.
It is often said that material nature is like the shadow and Lord Krishna is like the hand. So if you show the hand against the light, you will see the shadow. And the shadow will move exactly in the same way that my hand is moving. So one who doesn't see the hand, he is seeing only the shadow, he imagines that the shadow is just independently operating. But one who is seeing the hand, he understands, yes, actually the shadow is moving according to the movement of the hand. So the hidden hand behind this creation, behind material nature, that is making all the moving and non-moving things work, is Lord Krishna. That is the meaning of what he is saying here. Hetu nanena kaunteya jagat viparivartate. So all the changes, everything here is going on because of Lord Krishna behind. There was one scientist some years back. He was a Nobel Prize winner in chemistry. So he was giving a lecture in which he said, there is no need to believe in any God because all this life is simply coming from chemicals. By chemical combination, life is coming about. So he was listing out the various chemicals from which he said life will come. At that meeting, one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples was also present. And he happened to have a PhD in chemistry. So he stood up and he asked this gentleman a question after the lecture. He said, you are saying that life is caused by these chemicals that you have listed out, 1, 2, 3, 4, so many of them. Suppose I give you all these chemicals in exactly the proportion that you want. Can you produce life? So he said, that I cannot say. So you see, these people who are atheistic in mentality, their vision is imperfect. Their knowledge is incomplete. But still, they pass off in the world as being very, very learned authorities on subjects that are actually beyond their domain, that beyond their jurisdiction, beyond their scope of understanding. They want to understand with their limited petty senses what is actually beyond the senses. Lord Krishna is called Adhokshaja. Adhokshaja means he is beyond the senses. And because they cannot see him, they simply make a positive assertion. No, there is no God. It's all coming only from chemicals. And such people are recognized in society as being very learned people. And they are awarded very high prizes like the Nobel Prize. So actually, life does not come from matter. It does not come simply from chemicals. But we are seeing the reverse. That is true. We are seeing matter is being produced by living form, by life. We are seeing that all the time. Just take a simple example of a lemon tree. A lemon tree is not a very big thing. And it produces lemons. Lemons, as you know, are called citric fruits. So each lemon is producing citric acid. And in the life of the tree, if you take all the lemons that is produced by the tree, then and you squeeze all the lemons, there's so much of citric acid. Tons and tons of citric acid are being produced by this one little tree. So many tons of chemicals and matter is coming from one life form. Because after all, the tree also has a soul. There are so many different species of life and the tree is one of them. Similarly, in our bodies, we are producing perspiration. Now, especially in summer season, we see we're sweating profusely. So what is this perspiration? That is simply water that is little salty. It contains some waste products from the body. So because we are limited and we have tiny bodies, so we are producing limited quantities of perspiration. But Lord Krishna is God. He is unlimited. Therefore, he is producing unlimited quantities of perspiration. And do you know what is his perspiration? Yes? The sea water. Very good. The oceans are nothing but the perspiration of Lord Krishna. So that is also salty. So of course, Lord Krishna's perspiration is transcendental. So in this way, we can see that we are tiny. Tiny life forms are producing tiny amount of chemicals in matter. Krishna is perfect and complete and unlimited. So he is producing unlimited quantities of chemicals. So the scientists, they cannot even produce one living entity from matter. They cannot make one ant, one mosquito. And yet they are claiming that life is coming from chemicals. But furthermore, the next question we can ask is that okay, you are saying life is coming from chemicals, but who is producing those chemicals? Where are those chemicals coming from? You see, ultimately there has to be a source. Someone has to give you all these chemicals and then you can mix them and combine them and do everything. So the answer is Krishna, God. God is the source of everything. We have seen that couple of Wednesdays back. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mattah sarvam pravartate. He is the original source of all the atoms, electrons, molecules, etc. that have gone into the making of all these chemicals. So what are we doing? We are simply trying to mix these two and we are saying, yes, I have created life. But actually even the chemicals have been given by God. So therefore we can understand that at every moment of time, God is in perfect control of both the moving and the non-moving things. It is because of His manipulations and His control that the moving thing, the living things are being created, and that the non-moving things are being in motion and they are being manipulated in this fashion. So we should understand this. Lord Krishna is at every moment the supreme controller. Even in our own life, we can see that we are controllers to some degree. Every one of us. Whether it is a small ant, whether it is an ordinary human being who is staying in a slum, or whether it is the Prime Minister. We all have our respective domain of control within our friend circle, within our society, within our family, in our office, and so on and so forth. We are all little controllers. So there may be some controllers who are very big, like the Prime Minister. His range of control is very large. He's a very powerful controller in comparison to us. And the ant is very tiny. He's a very tiny controller in comparison to us. So there is a range of control that we can exhibit. But Lord Krishna is declared to be the supreme among all these controllers. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadi Radhir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. Brahmaji declares in the Brahma Samhita that there are many controllers, Ishvara. But Lord Krishna's another name is Parameshwara, Parameshwara. Parameshwar means He's a supreme controller. He's supreme among all of them. We can see that according to our karma, we are getting different powers. According to somebody's karma, he becomes an ant. According to somebody's karma, he becomes a demigod. According to somebody's karma, he becomes a prime minister. So according to our respective actions in the past, we are being awarded with a gift. That gift is that you have the power to control to a certain extent. But still we should understand that ultimately that power is not ours. That power is being given to us by the Supreme Lord according to our qualification. That is our karma. Just like in an office, there is a company. And a company has many employees, managers, officers, peons and so on. So according to the particular designation of the person in the company, people have different degrees of control and power. But do they independently exercise that power? No. It is coming only because the board of directors of the company or the managing director is authorizing. Yes, you are authorized to sign checks beyond this amount. You are authorized to enter into these transactions of buying and selling goods. You are authorized to represent the company for this purpose and that purpose. So they are controllers. They are controlling so many subordinates. But at the same time, their controllership is not independent. It is given to them by the supreme control of the board of directors. And any time, it can be taken away. Similarly, we also have our own region of control given to us according to our particular qualification. And therefore, we should know that we are not independent in that. It is given to us by the Supreme Lord. And finally, it is going to be taken away. There was one Prime Minister in this country. He was Prime Minister just for a few days, literally just a few days. And he had declared that the ambition of my life is to become Prime Minister. And he became Prime Minister and then he was thrown out after a few days. So then he was asked, so now what is your ambition? You have already become Prime Minister, you are gone also, you are no more there now. So what is now your life ambition? What is worth living? Is there anything worth living now for you? Attached to our positions of control. We don't realize that at any moment we can be kicked out. We are attached because we think I am the doer. But actually, Lord Krishna is the one who is doing through us. Brahmaji in the Brahma Samhita, he quotes a very wonderful verse. He says, Yastvindra gopam athavendra ahosu karma bandhana rupa phalabhajan matanoti karmani kirt nirdahati kintu ja bhakti bhajam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami.
There is an insect that is called the Indra gopa, very tiny insect. And then there is the king of the devatas, the demigods, Indra. The demigods, as you know, they are the universal administrators. Just like in this country, you have so many, you have one prime minister and you have many ministers. And these ministers are allocated certain portfolios to administer the country. Somebody is given charge of defense, somebody sports, somebody this, somebody that. In this way, the work of administering the universe is delegated, of the administering the country is delegated. Similarly, Brahma is the chief of this universe. But he is also empowered by Lord Krishna. And under Brahma, there are many, many demigods, devatas. And they are empowered to administer a certain portion of the universe. So Indra is in charge of rainfall, Vayu is in charge of air and the wind, and so on and so forth. So Indra is said to be the king of the demigods. So Indra to Indra Gopa, right from this, just see what a range it is. Indra Gopa is the tiniest of insect. Right from that Indra Gopa up to Indra, Brahma says in the Brahma Samhita, all of them, they are bound. Bound by what? They are bound by their own karma. According to their own particular activities, they are getting the reaction. So they are bound by karma bandhana. And they are bound by the cycle of birth and death. And who is controlling this? Govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Brahma says, right from Indra Gopa to Indra, all these people are being controlled under the supreme superintendence of Lord Krishna. And he says, the one who surrenders to Lord Krishna and worships him, automatically he becomes free from this karma bandhana. That is the position and power of the Supreme Lord, who is controlling even the most powerful of all controllers in this material world. Lord Brahma, he is even more powerful than Indra. And yet, sometimes when he is faced with the immense power of Lord Krishna, his mind gets baffled and bewildered. In the last few sessions, on some occasions, I described to you a wonderful story of how Lord Brahma once upon a time had stolen the calves and the cowherd boys who were accompanying Krishna when he enacted his pastimes here in this planet Earth just about 5,000 years ago. So another nice story is given about how Lord Brahma was baffled when he actually came face to face with the power and the control of Lord Krishna. As you know, 5,000 years ago when Lord Krishna appeared on this planet, he enacted his childhood pastimes in Gokul, Vrindavan. Then he went to Mathura for his boyhood. And his adulthood, till his disappearance from this planet, he spent in Dwarka city. So when he was once in Dwarka, Lord Brahma, who is the secondary or empowered creator of this material universe, he came to Dwarka to see him. And he was at the gate and he told the doorkeeper that I would like to see Lord Krishna. So the doorkeeper dutifully went up to Lord Krishna who was inside the palace and he informed him that Brahmaji is here to see you. So Lord Krishna told the doorkeeper, please ask him, which Brahma? So the doorkeeper went back and said, well, Lord Krishna wants to know which Brahma has come. So Brahma was confused. He says, what is this? Which Brahma? How many creators can there be in one universe? There can be only one creator. I thought I'm the only Brahma here. What is the meaning of which Brahma has come? So he said, anyway, please tell him that the Brahma with four heads and the Brahma who is the father of the four Kumaras has come. In this universe, the Brahma has four heads. So he can see all four directions. And he is the father of the four Kumaras. He is the father of many other living entities. He is the original father in this universe. So he said, please inform Lord Krishna, the father of four Kumaras, the four-headed Brahma has come. So then Lord Krishna gave permission. Yes, please ask him to come inside. So Lord Brahma came in. And when he saw Lord Krishna, he offered his obeisances. And Lord Krishna asked him, yes, what can I do for you, Lord Brahma? How can I serve you? What desire have you come with to me, see me? So Brahmaji replied that, my dear Lord Krishna, my purpose for coming here to see you, I will tell you later. But before that, I have one question that I would like to ask you because I'm very puzzled. So what is that? When I first came and I was standing at your door, your doorkeeper asked me, which Brahma are you? So I want to know what was the meaning behind asking this question. Why did you ask this question? Which Brahma? Are there many Brahmas in this universe? I am the only Brahma as far as I know. So Lord Krishna, he smiled. And then he meditated for a moment. And immediately what happened? All of a sudden, to the utter astonishment of Brahma, what did he see? Millions and millions of Brahmas suddenly appeared in the room where they were standing, where he was standing with Lord Krishna. All of a sudden. And to his even greater astonishment, all these Brahmas, some of them had 10 heads, somebody had 50 heads, somebody had 100, somebody 1,000, somebody 10,000, somebody million, somebody 10 million, and his mind was reeling because there were others who had even more heads. And there were others who were countless, just beyond his counting capacity, beyond Brahma's counting capacity, imagine. So he just was completely bewildered. He was just standing there speechless with his mouth open and eyes wide open, wondering what is going on. Who are all these Brahmas? They look exactly like me, but only thing is the number of heads are so many more. So he was just watching. And then all these Brahmas came and offered their obeisances. And they all touched their heads to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. And all of them were able to touch his feet. Just try to see. If you're trying to touch somebody's feet with your head, and if there are two people trying to do it at the same time, your heads will collide, isn't it? Simple logic. But here millions of Brahmas with their millions of heads were simultaneously bowing down their heads and their head, their helmets. They touched the floor and they touched the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. And Lord Krishna was there. They were all doing it simultaneously at what appeared to be the limited place of Lord Krishna's lotus feet. And when their helmets collided, it created a tumultuous sound. And they were all able to be accommodated at the lotus feet of Krishna. So Brahmaji just couldn't understand this. He was just watching. And then all the Brahmas said as if in one voice, that my dear Lord Krishna, you have called us here. So please tell us what your orders are and we will carry your orders on our heads and we will go back. So Lord Krishna says, yes, I just called you here to ask you, how is everything going on in your particular universe? Is everything all right? Are the demons creating any more trouble? So each Brahma replied as if in one voice, my dear Lord, thanks to your advent, there were some demonic people on this earth, but you advented and you killed all of them and now there is great peace. So you see what was happening? There are millions and millions of universes, limitless, and each of them is being controlled by a Brahma. Brahma is actually a position. Just like Prime Minister is a position. Prime Minister is a person, but he has a name, Mr. Narasimha Rao. It is not that Mr. Narasimha Rao is always the Prime Minister. So according to the person's qualification, somebody becomes Prime Minister, then he goes out, somebody else comes in. In this way, Brahma, Indra, Vayu, etc., they're all posts, they're positions, like Prime Minister, Finance Minister, Defense Minister. So each universe has a set of controlling deities, demigods, headed by Brahma, and then there is Indra and all the other demigods or devatas. So this is just like, there are so many countries in this planet, each country has its own ministers and king and prime minister and so on. So like that, there are millions and millions of universes in this creation. Each universe has its own Brahma and has its own devatas, has its own Indra, own Shiva. And along with the Brahmas, what did Lord Brahma see? Our Lord Brahma? He saw all the Indras were also there. Not just one Indra, but all the countless Indras from the countless universes. They were also present there. And in addition to that, even all the Lord Shivas were there. So this was too much for Brahma. He just couldn't take it. It was just beyond his capacity to understand. But still he was tolerating somehow. And just seeing this wonderful exhibition of Lord Krishna's opulence. And he was seeing this. And then he understood that actually each of the Brahmas was thinking that I am in my own universe only. Each Brahma did not understand that they were actually being called to the universe of our Brahma. Actually they were in this universe. But by the mystic power of Lord Krishna, each of those millions of Brahmas imagined that they were in their respective universes and that they were seeing Lord Krishna in their universe. And what is more, each of them could not see the other Brahmas. Each Brahma thought he was the only Brahma who has been called. And the only Brahma who could see everything that was going on was our Brahma. So he could understand and see all this happening, but each of the other Brahmas could not understand. They thought that they are the only ones being called by Lord Krishna. And they thought that they had been called in their own universe. So in this way they said, "My Lord, by your advent, because you have advented on this planet, therefore all the demons have been killed and our order is restored by your grace, so we are very happy." So he said, "Okay, now you may leave." So they all again bowed their heads. Again there was a tumultuous clash of the helmets as they all bowed their heads at one time, and then again they all departed to their respective universes. So then Brahma was just sitting there wondering what is going on, and then Lord Krishna turned to him. "So my dear Brahmaji, now have you understood?" So let us see what Brahma replies. You can imagine if you and I were in Brahma's position, what would we have done? Anyway, Brahma, let us see what he says. After observing all these opulences, the four-headed Brahma of this universe was astonished. He again came before the lotus feet of Krishna and offered him obeisances. "Brahma," he said, "whatever I formerly decided about my knowledge, I have just now had personally verified. There are people who say that I know everything about Krishna. Let them think in that way. As far as I am concerned, I do not wish to speak very much about this matter." Because he now understands there is no use. Whatever you speak about Lord Krishna, you can never understand him completely. He says, so what he's trying to say is, "I have given up. Now no more I want to attempt to try to describe your power and your glories." So he goes on, "Oh my Lord, let me say this much. As far as your opulences are concerned, they are all beyond the reach of my mind, body and words. Completely beyond me. So I am surrendered to you now completely." And then Lord Krishna describes that your particular universe extends 4 billion miles. That is our universe. And that is why you have only four heads. But he says there are other universes which are 10 billion miles across, 100 billion miles, 1 trillion miles, 100 trillion miles, and trillions and trillions and trillions of trillion miles long. And there are some which are unlimitedly long, which you cannot conceive of. And each of them has a Brahma who is in charge. And therefore, the bigger the universe, the larger the number of heads on that Brahma. So in this way, he was telling our Brahma that your universe is just an insignificant little universe. Just one tiny little universe. And you are also a tiny little Brahma. So now try to understand your position, he told him. So, according to the size of the universe, there are so many heads in the body of Brahma. In this way, I maintain my innumerable universes. No one can measure the length and breadth of 1/4 of my energy, which is this material world. So just try to think about what Lord Krishna said and what is Brahma's experience. This one little tiny universe, if you look up into the sky, you're seeing so many planets, so many heavenly bodies. This is all just one tiny universe. And we are so proud because we are controllers in our home or in our office. Because we get so much power, we get so proud, we get so puffed up. Or at the most, if we have become the controller of one kingdom or one country, our ego gets so bloated. But just see, what are we actually? We are absolutely insignificant. We are negligible. We are nothing. Lord Brahma himself is so powerful that it is beyond our imagination. Even Brahma is powerful. What to speak of Brahma? Even the ordinary demigods, the devatas, their power is also beyond our conception, beyond our imagination. So how much more powerful is Brahma? And our Brahma is just one tiny, insignificant Brahma. This Brahma cannot understand the scope of the power and controlling ability of the biggest Brahmas in the universe, in this material creation. And even the biggest Brahmas of them all, they cannot even understand one small fraction of the power of the Supreme Lord, Shri Krishna. It is said that Mahavishnu, who is the expansion of the expansion of the expansion of the expansion of Lord Krishna, who is a portion of the portion of Lord Krishna, he is producing all these universes. How? He simply lies in the causal ocean, and from the pores of his skin, the different various material universes are emanating. Just by his breath, he breathes out once, and from the pores of his skin, all the material universes of this creation are emanating. This one universe is so big. It is only a small universe. Imagine the biggest universes, which are trillions and trillions of miles across, and they are only as big as the pore of the skin of Mahavishnu. And when he breathes, all these universes go out. And when he breathes in again, and when he inhales, all these universes come back into Mahavishnu. Then Mahavishnu again breathes out, again another creation starts. Then it is maintained, again the creation is withdrawn. Just like a spider, he creates his web, maintains it, and then withdraws the web within himself. So Mahavishnu is so powerful, what to speak of Krishna? Krishna's power therefore is completely beyond the scope of even Brahma's mind, body and word. That is Brahma's confession here. So how can we frog-like creatures try to understand the controllership and power of God? And still in our foolishness, because we are puffed up with a little bit of academic education, because we have some little intelligence that is more than the intelligence of others, we do some so-called research and then we come to the conclusion that there is no God, there is no controller, there is no power controlling everything. It is simply on the basis of ignorance. Therefore we should understand from Shastra. We need not speculate. There is no need to do research. The research has already been done. And it is given in the scripture. So when we understand knowledge from the authorized sources of the scripture, then there is no scope for us to doubt. There is no question of speculation. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna is clearly stating here that he is the supreme controller of everything, moving and non-moving. And this material nature is simply acting according to his direction. That is sufficient for us. We don't have to waste our time with years and years of research, unnecessarily spending billions of dollars which can be used for more constructive purposes. So therefore we should know, the next time we feel a little proud that I am controlling this, or this has happened because of my ability, because of my power, we should remember Brahma's story when he went to Dwarka, and that will make us a little sober. And then in all humility, we should just say, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So we will stop here and we will leave time, about 5 or 10 minutes, for questions and answers. So if anyone has any questions, I will be happy to answer. Anyone? Last few times we fell short of time for questions. So this time I thought I will leave some time. If there is no question, then we'll have some kirtan. Kirtan for 5 minutes and then we will recite the shlokas.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama, Rama Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.